Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 deals with the healing of the man possessed of a multitude of evil spirits. I noticed in my reading this week, verse 15 says he was possessed with the devil. Possessed with the devil, and he also had a legion of other evil spirits within him. It seems significant to me that the devil himself maybe was possessing this man along with those legions of evil spirits. No man could control him. He was a wretched mess. We couldn't begin to imagine what it would be like to be this man, possessed of these multitudes of spirits, not being able to be bound, not being able to be controlled, casting ourselves into the fires and doing ourselves bodily harm. Mark chapter 5 deals with the Lord's meeting this man, the Lord casting out these many spirits. Deals with how the Lord chose to do that, how it was received. We're going to pick up with verse number 15. After the man has been healed and delivered of these spirits and the devil, and we're going to look at verse 15 through 20. And they came, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. I was drawn this week in my study and my look at this passage of Scripture to ask the question, why did this man want to go with Jesus? Why didn't this man want Jesus to leave him? Why did this man want to go and follow Christ, be wherever Christ was? And there are obvious and there are standard answers to that question and those thoughts. But one I don't think I'd ever considered before, at least not that I remember, was this man had experienced all of the horror that we read about in his situation. This man had lived it. This man had been on the inside looking out those eyes. He'd experienced all of this wickedness. He had experienced all of this turmoil. He had experienced being uncontrollable. He had experienced the horror that was his life. And now Jesus Christ has come and has saved him and delivered him from all of that. And I think one of the reasons he wanted to be with Jesus was he didn't want Jesus to leave him. I think he was afraid. Maybe to a degree afraid. If Jesus left and I remained here, I might be repossessed. I might fall back into those things. He didn't want to experience those things again. The Lord had saved his soul, delivered him from these multitudes of evil spirits, and he didn't want Jesus to leave him. It's kind of a picture of all of our salvations. The Lord saved our unworthy souls. What a miracle he did. Going back to the day when we were saved, we should have wanted and we should have had a desire to always be where Jesus was, to be with Jesus. Because we'd experienced all those years of being a sinner. And we'd experienced the salvation and the deliverance that Jesus Christ brought into our life. We come to kind of a dilemma here. As this man has been healed of the devil and healed of the legions of these evil spirits, as this man has been saved, what now? What now? What next? He wanted to go and be with Jesus. He wanted to follow Jesus. Wherever Jesus was, he wanted to go along with him. But Jesus gave him instructions in verse number 19 to go home, tell your friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. So he thought, I want to go with Jesus. I don't want him to get out of my sight. Jesus had other instructions for him. Go home. So today we want to speak on the subject, saved. What now? Sister Julia has professed her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She has told us she saw herself as a sinner, believes Jesus Christ died for her sins, and has professed her salvation. But what now? What now? This room is full of people who say they've been saved. Do you remember the day the Lord saved you? All the feelings and the emotions that you had? And how soon after the Lord saved you came that question, what now? The Apostle Paul, when he was saved, said to the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? What now? What now? So we want to look at that thought. Saved. Now what? This is in light of Sister Julia's profession and salvation. But it's also instructive of any who might need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also instructive to cause us who are saved to ask ourselves, when we came to that what now time, have we followed through? Have we heeded the instructions of the Lord after he had saved our soul? Saved, now what? First of all, when the Lord saves you and the Lord saves somebody, you need to tell someone. You need to tell someone. I don't find anywhere in Scripture the encouragement to be saved, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then keep that to yourself and not let anybody know. Salvation and Christianity is a sharing the good news of what the Lord has done for you. And the Lord's instructions to this man is go home and tell your friends. Go home and tell somebody. Go home and tell somebody how good the Lord has been to you. They all knew this man and knew the mess his life was and were afraid of him and stayed away from him. And the Lord now sends them to go back to these who were distancing themselves and tell them what good things the Lord has done for you. When Sister Julia received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, she told her parents. She told her parents. Right home, I assume. Then Sunday rolled around. She told the church. And I'm sure there are others, maybe grandparents or what have you, that she's also told since then. That's what you do after you're saved. Once you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, once you've been delivered from the peril that your life was as a sinner, you want to tell somebody. I read to Julia from Romans, where we're told with the mouth confession is made. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made. Man believes in his heart, receives the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, and then he confesses, then he professes, then he declares what the Lord has done for him. Sister Julia will be baptized this evening. That will be another way that she tells what the Lord's done for her. She'll be baptized not in order to be saved. She's going to be baptized because she is saved. And she's going to be baptized to declare, this is what Jesus Christ did for me. He died, was buried, and rose again. Saved, now what? Well, first of all, you tell somebody. If you're here and you say you're saved and you think you're saved, or you know you're saved, whichever term you want to use, and you've never told anybody, you've never publicly professed faith in Christ. You've never publicly declared that all is safe and all is secure with you. I'm here to tell you that no matter how long it's been since the Lord saved you, one of the first things he would have you to do today is tell somebody. Tell somebody. And then after we tell all of these first ones and we're baptized and what have you, for the rest of our life, we should be seeking opportunities to tell somebody. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus died for me. Jesus saved me. So you need to tell someone if you're newly saved, recently saved, or have never publicly declared your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That passage in Romans that I quoted said, those that have confessed with their mouths, believed in their heart, are not ashamed of Jesus. They're not ashamed of Jesus. You're not ashamed to tell. You're not ashamed to be identified with Christ. Second thing this morning, saved, now what? Not only do you need to tell somebody, but you need God's word. You need God's word. I made the statement last Sunday that Julia wasn't perfect. Now that she's a Christian, she wasn't perfect. Nobody becomes a Christian is perfect. They're still human, still prone to the same tendencies that must be overcome by the Holy Spirit. So she's not perfect, but she is different. When the Lord saves somebody, they don't become a perfect individual who doesn't have any problem with sin anymore, but they do become a different person. And becoming a different person means we have new needs. Needs we didn't have before. And one of those needs is we need the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus speaking here in the fourth verse, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You're not going to live by physical food alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Somebody who's been saved is spiritually alive, and they need spiritual food to be spiritually healthy. And the spiritual food that God has provided for those that are made spiritually alive is his word. Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23, verse number 12. Job 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth. I have valued, I have chosen, I have preferred the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It's pretty much what Jesus said. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Here in the book of Job, the writer says, I consider the words of the Lord more important than my necessary food. My necessary food. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12 through 13 tells us and gives us instructions to give ourselves to reading. Reading what? Reading the Word of God. God's people and God's men and those who name Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior should give themselves to reading the Word of God. Studying the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Got to pay attention to the punctuation. Like a newborn baby, which desires physical milk, like a newborn baby, Christian, desire the sincere milk of the word. Just like a baby desires milk and nourishment, Christians should desire the Word of God with that same passion, that same hunger, that same thirst. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've recently professed Jesus Christ as your Savior, or have at some time in the past professed yourself to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to tell someone. And you need God's word. Now you go to the book of Scripture. People say, well, I'm a child. Julia's young. How can she understand these things? She applies herself to the Word of God at the level that the Lord has placed her at in this point in her life. She has the same Spirit of God within her that anybody else here who is saved has within them. And as she digests the Word of God, takes in the Word of God, reads the Word of God at her level and her ability, God will feed her and God will nourish her and God will provide her all that she stands in need of. So you got to remember, in order to be saved, you have to have some level of understanding. You got to have some level of discernment. You've got to be able to understand the difference between right and wrong. God deals with us, however young or however old He saves us, He deals with us according to our ability to discern right and wrong, to discern our guilt and our sorrow and our sinfulness. So there must be a level of understanding before the Lord can save anybody. And if the Lord has saved somebody, they're able to understand at that level that the Lord saved them. So you need God's Word. Third of all, saved, now what? Tell someone. Now what? You need God's Word. Now what? You need prayer. You need prayer. You need the prayers of God's people for you, but you also need prayers coming from you. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you enter into that relationship with Jesus Christ. You enter into that relationship where you can call God your Father, and it be true. And you can understand His Word according to how He will reveal it to you at that level and ability that you possess. And now that you have a relationship with the Lord, now that you have a relationship with God, you can pray. And you should pray. And you should discipline yourself to pray regularly. You should discipline yourself to see the importance of communicating with this God who is now your Heavenly Father. So you need to pray. You need God's people praying for you. But that's not all there is to it. You need to be praying yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to pray without ceasing. You mean God hears the prayers of a young lady? Someone like Sister Julia? Yeah, He does. He hears the prayers of all those that are His people. He saves their souls, brings them into relationship with Him in order that He might hear their prayers. Before they were saved, they didn't have that freedom. They didn't have that liberty. They didn't have that feeling of being able to pray. But once they're saved, they need to see their need of praying, regularly praying, and they need to see the need of having people pray for them. Next of all, I think it's fourth of all, you need to tell someone. You need God's Word, you need prayer, and you need church. You need church. You need church. The Lord saves and the Lord adds to His church according to His will. The Lord is pleased to add to His church as it pleases Him. And He adds people to New Testament churches because they need church. They need church. There is a tendency when you talk about young people and you talk about children or those who are saved young in life, there is a tendency to feel like, well, we need to dumb down church. We need to dumb down church, or we need to shift gears and go into more of an entertaining mode because we're dealing with children. That's not the way it works. The Lord doesn't call us to dumb down the church or go into entertainment mode when He adds a young person to the body of Christ. He adds a young person to the body of Christ for their maturing, for their growing, for their being strengthened, for their being led by their, for their learning, for their training. And the Lord adds a person to one of His churches now that He saved their soul to save their life. Church is in the life-saving business. Who gets saved and when they get saved, if they're going to get saved, that's God's business. But once they're added to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in the life-saving business. I think about this church's 60th anniversary coming up in July of this year. How I'd like to find some time where we can just talk and have people testify the blessedness that this church has had upon their life. How God has used this church to save lives. How God has saved this church to spare people, to recover people. I'd like to hear some stories about what impact this church has had upon people's lives. Because that's why the Lord adds people to a church. The church is about maturing. It's about perfecting the child. It's about training up a child. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 makes that clear. Walk worthy of your vocation. Walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy of being placed in a church. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 through 16. For he gives the church pastors and elders and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. All the proof of Scripture declares you need church. You need church. You need to attend church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You need to participate in church. Sing when songs are being sung. Pray when prayers are being offered up. Listen when God is speaking. Don't waste your time playing. Don't waste your time in foolishness. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need church, and the Lord places you in your church to meet your needs. So participate. See, the amazing thing about this is Sister Julia comes to the membership of this church. She comes into the membership of this church with all the rights and the privileges of everyone else. She's not on a lower level. She comes into this church on the same level as somebody who maybe has been a member of this church for decades. You don't have more power, more authority because of how long you've been in this church, or because you're an adult as opposed to a child. So you can worship the Lord. You need to worship the Lord. So when songs are being sung, discipline yourself, new convert, to sing. Participate. When prayers are being offered up, pray. Call upon the Lord for the needs of the church and the services that are entered into. Listen to God's word. Learn when God speaks to us from his word. Learn as a member of this church. This church has Sunday school classes for all ages. Not because we have to, not because it's mandatory, because it's not mandatory. It's not by direct commandment of Scripture. But we have a Sunday school program and Sunday school classes so that people can be taught, can have the Word of God taught to them at their level for their benefit. That's why we have Sunday school. So learn. Worship in spirit and in truth. The ministry of this church is about saving your life. And your life will be saved as you are a faithful, productive member of the church where the Lord puts you. We've talked about the Holy Spirit. That's the next point. Saved, now what? You need to tell somebody. You need God's word. Be in the word. Listen to the word. You need to be praying, seeking God's people to pray for you. You need church. That you might be matured, perfected, learn, grow, develop spiritually. And you need the Holy Spirit. Well, where do you find the Holy Spirit? Look inside. See, if you're saved, when a person is saved, they're saved because the Spirit of God quickens and the Spirit of God convicts and the Spirit of God brings repentance and faith into their life. And the Holy Spirit does all of that from within. The Holy Spirit comes into the heart, regenerates the heart, saves the individual, takes up residency within the believer. And when you're saved, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you're saved, the Spirit of God takes its abode within you and seals you until the day of redemption. Meaning the Holy Spirit comes in at salvation, stays throughout the course of your life, and is never removed. And you need the Holy Spirit to teach you, to guide you, to lead you. You need the Holy Spirit to influence you. You need the Holy Spirit to direct you when you're doing wrong, to direct you when you're doing right. You need the Holy Spirit of God to give you understanding when the Word of God is preached, when you're taught the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. Those who are saved, I think it's simply put in the Scriptures, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. If you don't have the Holy Spirit within you, you're none of His. The Spirit of God is within you. And you're going to find as you grow in your Christianity, you're going to find He's always there. I don't like to overuse the statement, but He's going to be that still small voice. Every decision you make, the Holy Spirit's going to be there directing you to go the right way. The flesh is going to be there telling you to go the wrong way. But He's never going to leave you. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Save now what? Tell someone. You need God's Word. Be in the Word of God at whatever level the Lord has saved you. You need to be a praying person. You need to be prayed for by God's people. You need church. There's a reason why the Lord started His kind of a churches and has preserved them through all of these centuries. There's a reason why He's added you. You need church. Understand that. You need the Holy Spirit. I quoted Ephesians 4 verse 1 a minute ago. I'll refer to it again. Now that you're saved, you need to walk worthy. Worthy of your vocation. Worthy of the name Jesus Christ. Walk honorably. Conduct yourself in such a way that people can see Jesus Christ. I have a sermon I preached on Christianity. It talks about how they watched Jesus. They watched Him. They were always watching Him. Well, that same thought is true if you're here and you name Jesus as your Savior. You're being watched all the time. Once they hear you're a Christian, once they hear you believe Jesus Christ died for you, once you say you're saved, and once they hear you've been baptized, and once they hear you've joined a church, they're going to watch you. They're going to look at you differently. But they did the same thing to Jesus Christ. What we need to do is make sure we're living and walking worthy of the name Jesus. Living, walking worthy of the name where the Lord has placed us as a member of one of His churches. Walking worthy of the name, family name that God has given you, reputation that comes with it. Saved now what? These things apply to Sister Julia, but they apply to every one of us. May they be found true since our profession that these things are a part of our life. If you're here and you're without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, see yourself a sinner. See yourself as you stand before God guilty. See Jesus Christ. Believe Jesus Christ died for your sins and because of your sins, to save you from your sins, to forgive you of your sins. Believe He died for you. Be saved. And then you can apply all these things to your life. Lord willing, we'll be baptizing Sister Julia into the membership of this church. Let us take up the baton of earnestly praying for her. Think about if the Lord doesn't return, Where will Julia be 10 years from now? Where will she be in regards to these things we're laying out as principles of a new convert? 10 years from now, she ought to be the strongest, the greatest, the well-informed child of God that you can find. Because when we thank God for saving somebody, we thank God for saving them, especially when they're saved young, that they might be used for the honor and glory of the Lord. When we pray for the salvation of a lost soul, we pray that they might be saved, that they might bring honor and glory to the Lord. 10 years from now, hopefully that's where Julie's going to be found, bringing honor and glory to the Lord. And that's our prayer. Let's stand together.